I understand that you've had some success with your shooting. There was a great deal of excitement on the river bank, Gordon greeted him.
I managed to bring down a pigeon, sir, and it was a carrier.
You retrieved the message? Demanded Gordon eagerly.
I have it, but it took a soaking in the river. I've not dared to unfold it because the rice paper might disintegrate.
Let's take a look at it. Put it here.
Obediently, Penrod placed his bundle handkerchief on the general's desk and carefully unfolded it. They studied the tiny roll of paper.
Seems it's still in one piece, Gordon murmured.
It's your prize. You unfold it. Carefully, Penrod nipped the silk thread with the point of his penknife blade. The rice paper was so fine that it tore along the folds as he tried to open it, but the inner part of the message had been kept almost dry by the tightness of the roll. The ink had run, and in spots the words were indecipherable.
"We need a book," Penrod said, "to press it while it dries completely."
Gordon handed him his leather-bound copy of the Bible.
"Are you certain, sir?"
"The good book for good works," Gordon told him. Penrod opened the Bible and gingerly spread the damp sheet between the pages. He closed it and pressed the heel of his hand on the outer cover. Gordon was visibly impatient. He paced up and down the room, puffing at one of his Turkish cigarettes until he could contain himself no longer.
"Damn thing must be dry enough by now."
Penrod opened the Bible carefully. The sheet of rice paper was still intact, flattened by the pressure, and it seemed that the ink had not run further. Gordon handed him a large magnifying glass.
"Your eyes and your understanding of Arabic are probably better than mine."
Penrod carried the Bible across to the table below the window, where the light was better. He pored over it, and after a moment began to read aloud the tiny flowing script.
"I, Abdullah Said, son of Fal, Amer of the Baggara, greet the victorious Mahdi, who is the light of my eyes, and call down upon him the blessing of Allah and his other prophet, who is also named Muhammad."
"Standard salutation," Gordon grunted. Penrod went on.
"True to the orders of the victorious Mahdi, I stand guard upon the Nile at Abu Hamed, and my scouts watch all the roads from the north. The infidel Frank and the despicable Turk approach on two separate routes. The Frankish steamers have this day passed through the cataract at Korti."
Gordon slammed the flat of his hand on the desk.
"Praise God! This is the first hard intelligence I've had in 6 weeks. If Wolseley's steamers have arrived at Korti, they should reach Abu Hamed before the end of Ramadan."
"Sir," Penrod agreed, though he was not so sure.
"Go on, man, go on."
"Trifle difficult here. The ink has run badly. I think it says, the camel regiments of the Franks are still encamped at the wells of Gakdul, where they have been now for 28 days.
28 days? What on earth does Stuart think he's playing at?" Gordon demanded. "If only he had some gumption, he would make a bold dash for it. He could reach us within 10 days.
That is Chinese Gordon's own style, the bold dash and the grand gesture, Penrod thought, but he kept his expression neutral. "Stuart is also a death or glory lad, but he has to bring up his supplies before he can make the final charge to the city." Gordon jumped up again and flicked the butt of his cigarette through the open window.
"With 2,000 of Stuart's first-line British troops, I could hold the city until the desert freezes over, but still he shilly-shallies at Gakdul."
He spun on his heel and faced Penrod again.
"Go on, Ballantyne, what else is there?"
"Not much, sir."
He stooped over the tattered scrap of paper.
"In the name of the victorious Mahdi and with the blessing of Allah, we will meet the infidel at Abu Hamed and destroy him."
Penrod looked up.
"That's all.
It seems that Said ran out of space."
"Very little for our comfort," Gordon observed. "And the Nile is falling."
"With a brace of Ryder Courtney's fast camels, Yakub and I could be at the wells of Gakdul in 3 days, Penrod said.
"I could take Stuart your message."
You do not escape me so easily, Ballantyne. Gordon laughed ironically, a short bark of sound. Not yet a while. We'll continue to follow the progress of the relief columns by intercepting the pigeons. The dervish might accept one or two missing birds as prey of the falcons, Penrod demurred, but we must not frighten them off by killing everyone as it arrives. Of course. You have a point. But I must have news. I want you to shoot every fourth pigeon that comes in.